weeks actually up here. We were down below a couple of weeks ago at the Encounter, and we had a really, really good weekend together. The Encounter course obviously continuing in the evenings, and then last week Jackie and I had the opportunity just to go to Chester for a week. We actually went to the church. Some of you might remember Rob and Alice from 20-odd years ago. He was a student, and they're leading a church now in Chester, and it was just great to catch up with them and touch base, see what they're doing. They may even be coming down for that Touching Heaven conference. They're looking into that, which would be brilliant if they could make it. When we're ready, Leonie, we'll have the first one, please. Okay. So thanks, John and guys, just for leading us earlier, and Andy, just for picking up. You know, when I'm always a little bit confused. You know, if Jesus was here today, this would be packed out, wouldn't it? And if Jesus said, I'll pray for you if you want to come to the front, I don't think there'd be many empty chairs. Well, there'd be a load of empty chairs. But Jesus sends his spirit. And when the Lord is moving through the spirit in Qumran or other places which are within touching distance at least, it's good to go. Where Trevor Baker was up at the church in Tarlhurst on Friday, only made the Friday evening, but they're seeing things happening there in Dudley. I just want to go. I just want to be where God's doing stuff, because I've got a vision, and we know we need him. So when there's opportunity for prayer and for impartation, I can't believe people don't come. Yeah, I just can't believe that there's a third of the church or half the church. What's up with the rest of you guys? You know, what do you think is going to go wrong? Yeah, if God's here and wants to impart something, we need to receive, because it's the hungry he fills, the thirsty he satisfies. But those who think they've got everything, you go away just as you come. So that's a bit of a rebuke, isn't it? Well, take it as a challenge, an encouragement. Yeah, let's get all that God's got for us. Now, this is a bit dangerous. I've not got my timer with me. Where are we up to? Okay, we'll do this well in time. Okay, so this is our Vision Sunday. We're 6 weeks too late, really, and there is a reason for that. We moved into the building then. But before, usually we'd like to do this in March. I just want to start with this little introduction about vision, and then we're going to get a little bit particular and specific about what we believe God's calling us to this year. There is this, probably I use this every year, from this verse from Proverbs 29, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law. The many translations take this verse slightly differently, but most have this sense of prophetic vision or revelation, the NIV calls it. And most talk about casting off restraint. Others say dwell carelessly or even perish where there is no vision. So I think it's important, church, that we have vision. I was with a pastor just the other day, and he said he was feeling pressure because the church was saying to him, what is our vision? And I know that pressure sometimes. Well, I just want to share with you today what I believe our vision is. Yes, I will touch on the bigger stuff, but what our vision is for the next year. So first of all, a few things about vision. Vision energizes. Just talk among yourselves. I've got the wrong notes up here at the moment. It was 29. It should be 29. Yeah, okay, thank you, darling. Oh, dear. Okay, never mind. I'm going to make it up as I go along. Okay, vision energizes. That's one reason why vision's important. It gives us passion. It gives us a heart. It gives us oomph, if you like, because we know where we're going. Vision directs. It gives us focus. Jesus was so focused when he came. When they wanted to make him king, he knew to ignore that request because he knew what the vision was. The vision was to go to the cross. He was the king anyhow, but he had a vision, and it directed him. Vision focuses and directs us. It gives us focus. It helps us know what God's calling us to. I remember somebody saying to me once, when you get up in the morning, Neville, what gets you up in the morning? Well, if you have a vision, you know what gets you up in the morning, Because you've got a plan, you've got a purpose. It gives you focus. Vision unites. Wish I had my notes. Vision unites. Amos says, how can two walk together unless they agree? But you see, where you have vision, there's agreement. There's togetherness. We're going in the same way together. And vision, where there's unity, there's blessing. And blessing flows. And so it's important. Paul prays that we'll be of one spirit and purpose together. So vision helps us unite and focus and go in the direction God's calling us to. Where there isn't a vision, where there's no unity, where there's no agreement, the prophet says, you know, we cast off restraint, we dwell carelessly, we're touching this, we're touching that, we're doing all sorts of things. But when there's agreement on where God's calling us together, we move forward together as a body. Vision challenges. It challenges us because it means that this is what God has called us to together. But I wanted to do this, this, and this. Well, that might be very, very good, but what God has called LifeSpring together is this. And this is what we commit to, and this is what we're part of. This is our purpose. This is why we exist. It's not I or me. It's we've come together as a corporate body to fulfill that what God calls us to. But good visions will challenge us too. Good visions it'll be impossible for us to fulfill a good vision, a vision from God. And so there's challenge for us. So it's a matter of going beyond what we're able to accomplish in the natural, but now we're being challenged by God to do the stuff which is impossible to do. God doesn't want us just to settle for what can be accomplished without His Holy Spirit. He gives us His Holy Spirit so that we can take things forward and move in all the plans and purposes of God. So vision is important. Vision enables us to achieve. You know, I touched on earlier on, you know, what God's doing in Wales, we need to catch hold of. You know, where God's moving, we need to connect. But it's only of real relevance if you've got a vision. You see, the children of Israel were an incredibly supernatural people. For 40 years, they were in the wilderness, and they saw miracles. The presence of God was among them. There was the cloud, and there was the fire. Their shoes grew on their feet. There was miraculous provision. You know, they had manna every day, and then when they wanted meat, tons and tons and tons and tons of quails came. Must have been tons for 3 million people to be fed. And where there was water in the desert, they hit the rock and water came out and it flowed. They were a supernatural people. They knew what it was to have signs and wonders in their ministry. You know, if you went to the church in the desert, you would have felt, wow, this is an incredible place to be. God's in the place. And He was in the place, of course. But do you know what it says about that people? But they died in the wilderness, never fulfilling their destiny because of unbelief. They had all of that stuff, which I believe is so, so important for us, and which we need to take on and receive in order to fulfill the vision. But if you haven't got a vision, don't go to Bethel. If you haven't got a vision, don't go to Bogota. If you haven't got a vision, don't bother about Qumran. If you haven't got a vision, there's no point. But if you have a vision, God's going to touch you and motivate you and enable you to fulfill that which He wants to do among you. And when we have a vision, and with the help of God and the help of the Holy Spirit, we will achieve that which He's called us to. Can I have an amen, please? You know what I'm saying? I'm for all these places, but it only makes sense in the context of God's plans and purposes for your life as an individual and for our lives as a church. Jeremiah says this, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. And guys, we need to connect with those plans which God's got for us. He's got plans. He's got purpose. Everybody here in this room, He has called with a purpose. And there's a purpose to fulfill. And actually, we need the Holy Spirit to fulfill it. We need to be saved. We need to be people and children of God. And once we've been saved and filled with the Spirit, we have all that we need in order to fulfill those good plans. And as we meet people here on the 22nd, and as we meet people in the area and the community, there will be many without hope. There will be many which wonder what they are getting up in the morning for. There will be many which maybe they've not got jobs, or there's a family breakdown, or there's all sorts of situations which they find themselves in, and they've become people without dreams, people without plans, people without hope. But we've got a message. We've got the message for them and for ourselves. With God, He has plans for us, plans for welfare, plans for blessing, plans to prosper us, to give us a future and a hope. He is so good at redeeming the bad and turning it into good, because that's what He is. That's the sort of person God is. Hallelujah. I met with a cell this week, and we were doing a little bit of journaling. And I wasn't thinking of this Sunday, but I just want to read some of the things I felt God give me for that particular group, but I want to apply it here as well for on that day. And this is what I felt the Lord say. Tell them my plans are much greater than they realize. Plans together, plans as part of the whole, and plans as individuals. Some don't believe me. They think they know, but my plans are much greater, much loftier, impossible plans, which without me will only seem like unrealistic dreams. I want to share them, but they can't always hear and see. But as we fellowship together, the Lord's saying, dream together, draw close to each other, then more of what's on my heart can be released and revealed. Tell them this, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You remember that as we talk about what we're doing this year. We are co-workers, hand in hand, arm in arm, working together with me is so much fun. It's always more blessed to give than receive. Because of the joy which I was going to experience, the pain and the cross was worth it. And we're part of that joy. And so are billions of others who've come to know the Lord. So it will be for each of you, a price to be paid, yes, but always a much greater reward. I want you to hear that. God's got plans, and God's got a purpose for each one of us. So, LifeSpring Church, building church, making a difference. Last year, the pavilion, hallelujah, the plan, the vision to purchase, to buy, to do up, to raise £100,000, and we've not done too badly, have we? Very, very exciting. It became the main focus. It wasn't ever intended to be, but probably realistically, it had to become that. And rightly or wrongly, it meant that other goals and plans which we had, which I'll be touching on a little bit in a moment or two, just got put to the side. But we got in here for 31st of March. Absolutely incredible. And of course, the work is continuing. But this building isn't the vision. This building is to facilitate the vision which God's given us. And we need to remember that. I felt the Lord say this to me. This was going back a little while. You will begin to think that the pavilion is too small. But I will show you. Sorry, I was just thinking of Pastor Caesar when I said that. That's what he said, wasn't it? But I will show you how to use it to its full potential. It will become a revival center. We'll have to go to Cwmbrian. I believe people will come to Reading because God wants to come and visit. It will become a revival center, a center of refreshing and renewal. Those bound and hurt will find healing and freedom. The lost will find salvation. Joy, love, life will abound. Music will be heard. My songs will be sung. Dancing will be released. Extravagant praise. Extravagant worship. My name will be lifted up in this place. This was before we had it. And many will be drawn to me. This is my plan. This is my dream for you. You will be a flagship, a lighthouse in Reading. And like moths are drawn to a light at night, so my people, and even those not yet my people, will be drawn to you. You see, I believe the pavilion has a place in the vision which God has given us. And he goes on, I felt the Lord after that was saying, so humble yourselves. Depend on me. Don't get proud. Don't get arrogant. It's my doing. It's me working through you that will enable this to come about. So this building, I believe, is central to what God wants to do among the church here. So we've arrived. And this slide here, we're working out a parish. Never had the opportunity of a parish before. But there's us there in the middle. And this is a proposed parish. Now, it overlaps with other churches. So obviously before we were here, I guess the other churches in the area would have, well, there's not many residents along the Oxford Road, but off the streets here, they would have covered too. But we've arrived now, and we're working with these other churches. And we probably won't, you know, it's a bit like the land, the promised land. We're not going to take it all in the first go. But the other side of the Oxford Road, there are streets and streets and houses and flats and loads of dwelling places with no church around at all. And I just believe, Lord, we need to be good news. We need to be good news to them. The more obvious streets, obviously being on this side of the Oxford Road, are those streets particularly around us. And I'm looking for cells who will feel like I want to commit to being, you know, to being involved in this particular area. Just being good news. Some may say, I will take these streets on. We just want to leaflet, we want to knock on the doors, we want to share the good news of Jesus, you know, regularly, you know, a few times a year. So we're inviting them to the Christmas events, and we're inviting them to Easter events, and other particular events which are happening here, and they'll begin to know. Not just from what they see on the outside, but LifeSpring Church is alive and well and exists in the building, and this is to welcome them in. So there's our proposed parish. It might change slightly, but that's what we're looking at the moment. So the pavilion this year, look at that. Phase one, funds raised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That was a lot of money which we've had come in, and 95% has come through the church. It's just probably 98%. It's been absolutely incredible. So this is what we've got to complete, and May the 18th will help us get on well with this. So the conference suite underneath, I'm calling it conference suite, is where we'll have junior church and other church activities, but during the week that will be hired out as a conference suite. Cafe 12 is in the foyer area here. I could do with some help on that, by the way, but we're getting there. Signs on the outside, we're just getting the planning permission sorted, aren't we, Simon, and getting the information through in faith so that can go through. And yeah, it'll all be developed on the outside there, certainly, hopefully, by the time the opening comes in 7th of July. The car park needs to have work on, and we've got to smarten the canopy and the exterior generally. So we've got funds to do all of that. We need just some work people to help us accomplish that. But the next year, or this year really, the next 12 months, this is the target at least. Phase two, we think we need to raise about another 40,000. This has still got to be clarified and confirmed exactly. But the rooms basically underneath the stage here at the back of the hall, the green room and the toilets, we want to do up to a really good standard. They will be part of the conference suite. So they need to be done really, really nicely. We want a usable kitchen. Well, we've got something like that at the moment. We want a better one. We want a baptistry, so when all these people come, we can actually baptize them in our building. First floor, and we want to make use of the first floor foyer overlooking the Oxford Road there. So we think about £40,000 should do that. So every other month, we're going to have that special pavilion offering. And that will be going towards this, starting off with the green room and the loos at the back there. I think we got £1,600 the other month. Obviously, the baskets are out here each week anyhow. If you want to put money into the pavilion, that would be great. And while I'm on to the pavilion, many of us agreed to pay over and above our tithe to help with the running expenses of the pavilion. I saw a little note from Chloe, who does our accounts, and was saying, you know, if there are others which would like to contribute in that, it's a separate bank account, so you need a separate standing order form. We were asking people to give, I think it was £25 extra, or multiples of 25. And we had a good response. Some people giving 50, some people giving £100, some £200 or £300 more each month, on top of their tithe, just to help with the running of the pavilion. If you feel you'd like to contribute into that, if you see, I don't know if Chloe's here, but Luke, Nikki, who's that over there? Chloe! Yes, if you see Chloe, then Chloe would be able to tell you about that. But we would really, it'd be helpful just to have more funds coming in, just to help the running expenses. This isn't capital expenditure. This is to pay for the heating and the everything else which we're doing. At the same time, I should also say, we're beginning to let out the building. And I think this year already, we probably could have had £10,000 worth. We will, in the next 12 months, get £10,000 worth of income, rental income, from using the building. And that's just having been here 6 weeks or so. So we need to balance that with church use and commercial use, but we need money coming in to help cover costs too. So that's really brilliant. And this particular area here, I think, you know, once people get to know about this area, we'll be able to let this out, and that'll just help with the funds too. Okay, so that's the pavilion. I thought I'd just summarise what I felt really God's calling us to here as a church. And I put these six headings down. Fulfilling the Great Commission. So that's seeing souls saved. That's seeing them saved and added into cells so they can be discipled and cared for. And 12s is shorthand, if you like, for leaders and leaders of cells. I believe God's calling us to impact the community and the town and nations. There's a heart that the Lord's given us for family. And this probably won't be developing so much this year, but we need to be looking at ways so we can strengthen and develop family so that we can help those in the church and those outside of the church with marriage, with broken relationships, with parenting, and with all of those sort of areas. I believe that's part of the DNA that God's giving us. We really want to be a church reaching out to youth and children. Yeah, I said before, I want this building to be like the building the youth in the town want to come to. If there's an event on at the pavilion, they want to go there. They know it'll be good, and they know that the facilities are excellent. But that's just the building to serve the vision. We'll touch more on some of these areas in a moment or two. God's calling us to be a counselor, or to have a counseling, healing, and deliverance ministry. And I'll touch on that a little bit later, but I believe God wants to set the captives free. He wants the sick to be made well. He wants those people which are struggling in life and with issues of life from the past to come through to a place of freedom in the Lord and salvation, of course. And then, it's not last at all, but worship and celebration and hosting his presence, I believe, is very much at the DNA and the heart of what God has for us here as a church. In fact, I was speaking to somebody the other day and they said, I'd love to come up into this area here during the week to pray. I really sense his presence. Some other leaders were here the other day, and we were praying together, and one of them said to me the next day, after I went home, I just realized I'd received something from the Lord. A weight had lifted off as we just came and worshipped and prayed together here in this place. I do believe there's something of a temple, in quotes, that the Lord wants to have here. Where his presence dwells. And I'm wondering whether it might be something that, we'd have to sort out administratively, that during the week people might just want to come and say, I just want to come up to the auditorium, not a better name for it, but the auditorium to pray. And you could just have some music on and we could just pray. And I imagine people at the front here just on the stage, just kneeling down on these steps, and others just on the chairs, and others maybe in a corner just praying and calling out to God, and just individuals coming to pray and to receive from him. So that's what summary I think of the main aspects of our vision. Building church. So here's some goals. We're thinking we're hoping to have two services from the autumn. Hopefully have two services so that we can grow. Now, you'll see, we've got gathering there, 350 people by March. So that's probably like another 100 people we're hoping to see added into our congregations. But 350 people here on a Sunday, well, not only aren't we allowed to do that just at the moment, it would be too full. So we're looking maybe two morning services to start with by the autumn, where people can come to either of them or both if they want to, because we want to reach out. And we want to see people come and added into the church. Now, they're only going to come if we invite them, but that's our goal, to have over 100 more people coming by March next year. Cells. Cells are key to the church. I'll touch on that in a moment or two. But we're looking to see, no, we're not going to that one yet, 40 men and 40 women saved and added into our cells. That was the same as last year. Pavilion took over. We did see some come. So we're going to strategize. We're going to be praying. Lord, how can we add these people into our cells? And on top of that, 10 new cells coming and developing. Because we're going to have 100 more people coming. So we're going to have to be looking to see how we can care. As Jackie said, we've got a brilliant structure in the sense of the cells and cell leaders, but that's a wineskin that will burst unless we're training up more cell leaders and investing in more people to take on more responsibility to care for new people as they come in and to help love and disciple them. So we've got a vision to see 80 more people added in to our cells over the next year. Encounter courses. This connects to the counseling, healing and deliverance side of things. We're in the middle of a course at the moment. There's going to be a healing encounter in July. It's a new one which we're just setting up and working with. That counter follows the first one. So you have to go on the new believers encounter first. But the healing encounter just takes stuff deeper from that new believers encounter. It's just a weekend. It's not a whole. It's not a longer time. But I think that's going to be so important to us. And in fact, I'm going to be asking the people in my cells once a year we go on that encounter just to get stuff off. We used to say that about the new believers encounter. Well, this is just taking stuff a little bit more deeply on the healing side of things. So I think it's going to be really, really good for us just to have that regularly annual checkup. But it's going to be good news to people that are just finding the Lord and coming in with all their hurts and baggage and pain from the past. The encounter itself will help, but for those which just need more ministry and healing, there's going to be an opportunity for that too. So we're developing that this year. And then Equipping for Destiny is the new name for School of Leaders. It's a new course. It looks really, really exciting. We'll be starting that in September. And because it's so new and so good, I'm hoping that most of us will go through that again at some time. Anyhow, let me just quickly talk about the importance of cells. Cells are the strength of the church. I should say healthy cells. But you can come on a Sunday and we can do what we do and you can feel a buzz or not, but you can feel this, that and the other. But actually the strength of the church is in those small groups. It's in those cells. And I think it's really, really important that we understand that. That's where the strength of relationship is, with God and with each other. That's where love is expressed, where discipleship takes place, where people can come in and feel added to the church. Do you know on a Sunday some people come and as soon as the whistle goes at the end, they go away very, very quickly because it's hard to make friends here for some people. They just find that so much more difficult. But in the cells, They can weekly with the same group of people get to know each other, invite them into their homes, go out for a drink, have a curry together or whatever it might be, and friendship develops. Cells are the strength of the church. So when we talk about cells, it's so important we don't see all this stuff happening out there and then there's all the cells over here. No, cells are at the heart of it. And it's as we strengthen and develop people in the cells, then all of that other stuff begins to happen. But without that, it's like the backbone, it's like the foundation. Without that strength there, this other stuff on the outside won't be so strong. So three aims for cells: spiritual growth, a place for encouragement, a place to grow spiritually. You can come as a non-Christian, but we hope you find the Lord. And as you find the Lord, we hope that you will begin to grow in your daily life with the help of your cell leader and friends. A place for personal growth. Particular aspects, training and equipping, which can help you as an individual grow. Maybe sorting out finances, maybe other ministry sort of stuff we could begin to train you in and encourage you in. So it's a place for personal growth. And then lastly, a place for numerical growth in the cells, where you can invite your friends to and where people can be added. And if all that's happening, we've got healthy cells. And do you know what? Healthy cells grow. Think of it in your own body. Healthy cells grow. You don't have to force it. You don't have to make it. They grow. They multiply naturally because they're healthy. And that will be the same in the church. So they're the aims of our cells. We encourage everybody to be in a cell. We encourage everyone to go through that first encounter course. That's the way into the church, if you like. If people ask me about membership, well, we don't have things that you sign so much, but it starts with going through an encounter course, and it starts with being part of a cell. That's where things start as you come into the church. That's why we think those things are so, so important. And then just very, very quickly, this is the sort of content and expectation which you could expect from our small groups, our cells. You will get a warm welcome. I'm not going to go through them all, but you can see them there. You know, there will be social events, there'll be friendship. It'll be a place to invite not yet Christians. It'll be a place where growth, where goals can be shared for growth, for the cell and for yourselves as individuals, where you'll receive pastoral care. Pastor Caesar says, I look across my church of 200,000 or whatever in his mind, because he haven't got a building big enough for them. And he says, but I know every one of them is being pastored and cared for because every one of them is in a cell. He can't do that himself. He's looking after 12 people. But as they look after theirs and the vision goes down, everybody in the cell is cared for. As this church grows, those cells will become more and more and more important. So that when we have 3 or 4, 5, 6 services over the weekend, because we can't get in here on a Sunday, we'll be able to know that everybody here is in the cell and cared for and being pastored and being encouraged and being supported and being prayed for every day, because that's what cell leaders are learning to do. So cells are really important. Impacting local community. The blue ones aren't our responsibility, the red ones are. So if you want to know what's happening in the Baker Street area street party, which is just a road up to up here, Marion's involved. She would love people from the church to be involved in that. It's us being good news. It's us just showing that we're not that snooty little bunch of people that just travel in here on a Sunday and then disappear again for the rest of the week. But we're part of the local community. So if you're able to, want to be involved, 2nd of June, have a chat with Marilyn. We've talked about the 2nd of June. I really would encourage everybody, if possible, to come for a few hours on that day just to help us, put this on. And Claire and Bev have got all the information on that. We want to be good news to the local community. You know, who is LifeSpring Church? What is that weird bunch meeting at the pavilion? You know, well, we want people to come and see. Well, they're not so weird. They're a good bunch of people. In fact, while I was flying to Colombia earlier this year, I had the dream of this open day. And it was reminded of the time when Jesus invited, or I think he told the story where they invited people to the wedding feast and they all made excuses why they couldn't come. And Jesus said to his disciples, well, just go out into the highways and the byways and invite everybody, anybody who's anybody, to come along. And what I see is we'll have people outside with flyers. We'll leaflet the area anyhow, but people outside with flyers on the day, we'll be inviting people to come in, free cups of coffee, have a hog roast, you know, have your face painted, listen to some music, whatever it might be. Have a tour of the building. You know, find out a little bit about what this church is all about. We want to bless you. You know, we just want to be good news. You know, come and chill. Just relax here. Come again on Sunday if you want to as well. You know, it's that sort of thing where we're just saying, we've arrived. We're not here to take things over. We're here to serve and to be a blessing. Why don't you come? So that's what we're hoping for on the 22nd of June. 29th of June, His Kids. That's a good name. This is for dads and children. And we're going to start a couple of sessions this part of the summer on a Saturday morning. They'll be developing. We're looking for that team to develop. I'm not quite sure where we're up to at the moment. Marion, again, is involved in that. And that'll be happening. It's a venue, it's a forum for dads to come with their children. And coming out of that, we think all sorts of things will develop in encouragement for dads and to be good dads, good fathers, and everything else. But that's the beginning, 29th of June. Oxford Road Fun Day, 6th of July. Not involved, but it would be great if people want to. Again, Jackie Curtis, I think, is involved in that, so do let her know. 7th of July is the pavilion opening here with Pastor Caesar, in Jesus' name. It's just a question at the moment, all of a sudden, so we're just working on that one. But we're expecting him to be here. That'll be in the afternoon. We're going to need a lot of help. Please come and help serve us. In the evening, there's probably going to be a concert, more with a youth feel to it, but we're all invited to come, so we probably won't meet in the morning. But we'll be getting things ready for that special day when the mayor will be coming and the local MPs and the councillors and pastors from across the town and even from across the nation. There'll be video things from across the world where Pastor Fred, we hope, will be here, and a pastor from Liberia, you know. So it's going to be an exciting, exciting time and day. So 7th of July and 21st of July, see Marion, a neighbourhood clear up. So that's us touching this local community and wanting to make a difference. Reaching children. Tigger's toddlers. Jackie, where are you, Jackie? Are you here? People say they don't know who these people are. She's downstairs. Can't see her then. She's downstairs with Junior Church. But these were some of the goals which she has for the toddlers to bring more of God into that mix. At the moment, they have about up to 50 mums sometimes coming in the YMCA. They will be moving here in the next few weeks. More of God in that mix. More positive responses to LifeSpring activities. So it's really helping the parents and the guardians connect with the church here. She wants to run a seeker course, could be an alpha course or something later on, which we'll probably do as a church together, but the invitations can go out there. And Jackie's got a goal to see at least 5 parents who've started to bring their children get added to ourselves and church. Now, that seems quite a small number, but we've been going for 10 years and we haven't led anybody yet. Well, very few anyhow. I shouldn't say we haven't led anybody. So that's the goal. We need to pray for Jackie. They see at least that number. I think that could happen before Christmas, but we need to see at least that number added into the church. So we're not there to just evangelize, but we're there to be good news. And as people see the good news, feel the good news, hopefully they'll be wanting to respond positively too. Now, is Dan and Catherine here? Could you stand, please? We have half or one? Yeah, Dan. This is Dan. If you don't know Dan, Dan and Catherine are running Energy, which is like our kids' church. It's already started, but this is when it's going to be really getting going. They're going to be meeting fortnightly here from June, and then weekly from January. And they're going to be visiting the houses of the children, so it's focused on this particular area in that parish. And they're going to be reaching out to them and visiting them every week during term times. And they have a goal to see 100 children gathering here every week. And they'll be visiting many more than that, but to see 100, we need to get behind them in prayer. This would be primarily non-church children, reaching out into the community, being good news. I think it can happen. I think it could at least happen. Much more, but we're going for at least 100. And so they need a good team. You've got a good team, you need a bigger team, I think, to really develop this further. That's very, very exciting. And that, of course, linking in with toddlers. There's junior church happening, but this is where we're reaching out to children so that they can come to know the Lord. Reaching youth, very, very important. Craig and Sarah, are you here? Would you like to stand, please? This is Craig and Sarah and their live team. Thank you. And they're heading up live 11 to 14s. Yep, that sort of age range. It is that age range. Sunday evenings here from June, gathering 100 children. We've reduced Sarah's optimism from 200. We say, that'd be absolutely great, Sarah, but we're going for at least 100. At least 100, 11 to 14-year-olds. How many at the moment? 15, 20? 15 at the moment. We need to pray. Why not? Why can't we get 100 11 to 14-year-olds gathering here and beginning to help them and empowering them to live Christian lives and to begin to lead live cells? Sarah can explain the format a little bit more. And so she wants to see another 10 cells opened among the live children age range, giving us 10 cells in that area altogether to encourage, to help, to develop, to care for these young children. Refresh, James and Emma, are you here? Please stand. This is James and Emma, and they have a wonderful team around them. Thank you. And they have a plan too. It's all very exciting, this, isn't it? So this is fortnightly, but they want to see 100. So all these hundreds coming and gathering. This is 18-year-olds upwards? 15 to 25-ish, that sort of age range. They want to see 100 people gathering for worship and for teaching. It's like a youth church, if you like. But it'll be a church to reach out to other young people too so that they can come. And their goal is to see 20 saved and added into cells at the church. That's a good goal. We need to pray for it. It's one thing having the gatherings. It's another thing seeing people saved and being discipled. And look at that amazing goal at the end. They want to see radical young disciples and leaders being formed. Amen. That's going to change a town. Radical young disciples will change this town. So we need to pray for James and Sarah and their team as they develop Refresh. So that's up to the 25-year-olds. We're also reaching the nations very quickly, nearly finished here. So to Life Spring this year, we're hoping to see Pastors Phillipson and Victoria and Fred and Grace come. We know Fred and Grace quite well. Phillipson's not visited our church before. We've been there 3 times to Liberia. He just needs to see us, I think, meet with us, see what he has. Bit wilder expectations than we feel we can meet, but we thought, well, if he comes, he can see who we are and meet you guys. So they're both coming, hopefully, for the G12 conference, both be around for the opening at the beginning of July. Fred staying another month, bless him, to the wedding. He said, I can't come for a month. I said, well, Fred, you choose. It's either the opening or the wedding. I'll come for the month. So we'll be looking for some people to host and look after him. But yeah, this is a brilliant opportunity. Those who've been to Uganda, Andy and I have been to Liberia and Jackie. It's a privilege to serve, often in poverty and material poverty, but spiritual riches. And as we go, we receive so much from these guys, these African connections. Both of these guys doing G12. Phillipson's got a whole 1,500 pastors across Liberia, which he's working with, and Fred's got 18 churches or so too, which he's connecting with. And then from here, I'm going with Tamrat to Ethiopia. How many cells have we got over there? About 800,000. Ridiculous, really. So we're just going to help put something more solid in as the growing over there in Ethiopia. Incredible, absolutely incredible. And actually, we're going to be linking with another pastor from Leeds. We're hoping that Pastor Leonard will go at some time and other pastors because, well, we're not that big a church yet. And 800,000 cells and stuff over there needs a little bit more than we can give at the moment. But that's really, really exciting how that's all developing. Maybe October time we're going there. And already Mark, Audrey and Stella have been to visit Tracy. I bet you don't know what all those flags are, but they are all the nations in Africa which we are involved in. There is South Sudan, I'm not sure which one's theirs now, and there's Swaziland as well because we're involved with Ruth and others in Mozambique. But what a privilege to be giving out to the nations and to see lives changed and churches grow and the Lord being honoured. So that's some of the things which we're going for this year. Let me close, as my notes didn't exist properly anyhow, just by this thought, we need to dream. You need to dream. I hope you can catch something. Oh, thank you, Simon. That's good. I hope you can just catch something of what we're doing and where we're going. I hope you can feel why cells are important, why forming 12s are important, why the structures we have are important, because we want to make a difference here in Reading and beyond. And to the nations. We need to dream of hundreds queuing outside waiting to get into this building. We need to dream of youth being so, so impacted by the presence of God. We need to dream of this becoming a revival center where God comes by his Spirit, not because of who we are, but because of who he is. But we need to see that. We need to see ourselves growing. We need to see music developing. We need to see the youth burgeoning. We need to see that, you know, catch the heart, see the dream, yeah? And then we need to believe. We need to dream before we can believe. We need to see before we can believe. If you can't see it, Pastor Caesar says, if it's like a fuzzy picture, you need to get that antenna right so that the picture becomes clear. And when you can see that, when you can see your cell becoming a group of 12 leaders caring for 12 other cells, when you begin to see that, you just keep going for it. You're trusting God for it. And the obstacles come and the people leave and the people stop coming or they lose their faith. But you've seen a dream which you keep going for. Yeah? You know, when you see these young people coming and live happening and Refresh and toddlers and all of this stuff, then you get the disappointments. Because we've got a dream, we keep going. And if we dream and believe, we will achieve. We will achieve. But there's just one thing we need to add into that. Well, there's quite a few things. We need to persevere. I think we need to pray too. And we need to keep on trusting God, calling out to God, receiving from him his Spirit, his life, so that we can be a church which makes a difference in this town, in this nation, and beyond. So the local church is the hope of the world. I believe it with all my heart. The local church, Lifespring Church, Greyfriars Church, Providence Chapel, Argyle Community Church, they are the hope of the world. We've got hope, we've got faith, we've got love, we've got Him. He wants to come, impart it so we can be good news wherever we go. Let's stand together as I just read that scripture out. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. If you like, this is the Queen's speech. This is what we're going to be doing over the next 10 months. These are the goals which we have, that Jesus might receive all the glory and all the honor, and the church in the pavilion will be honoring Him in this place and in this town. Amen. Let's worship together. Thank you, John.